Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
The Pets Allowed News Wrap.
Fun.
A look at the news of the week from the Lost Dogs Home.
Yes, it's that time of the week to check out all the interesting news that happened over the week. Kev, yesterday and today in some countries is World Stray Animals Day.
Was it just that it's continuing? So it was actually the 4th, but because today is still the 4th,
well, we're ahead. Yeah, we're in Southern Hemisphere.
So did you know that more than 600 million is a huge number. It's twice the population of the United States of America. Stray animals worldwide will go another day without food, shelter, and love, and they so desperately need that and deserve. And the problem isn't exclusive to countries far away. It is a global issue that also happens in Australia.
Joy 94.9.
That is right. We are on Joy 94.9. Thanks for that, Oz. In Australia, each year, the Lost Dogs Home cares for more than 31,000 unwanted and abandoned cats and dogs every year. So dedicated animal welfare groups across the world join together to continue the push to turn around the lives of stray cats and dogs on World Stray Animals Day, which is April 4th. Now, part of our celebration mm-hmm. of World Stray Animal Day is that we have extended our half-price cat adoption promotion at our North Melbourne and Campasby shelters. Oz, tell us a bit more about that.
Yeah, well, until April 14, you can adopt a cat for $47.50 or a kitten for $85. So that's half the price. For more details on that, you can check out our website. But each adoption candidate, like all of our adoption candidates, have received a full health check, have been vaccinated, de-sexed and microchipped. Those of you who are interested, in order to get the discount, you need to take the pet license test. And that, Kev, is pretty much, as you were sort of explaining with Leo, it's just a guide for people to refresh their skills on looking after their pets.
Yeah, absolutely. It covers all sorts of things, so from training to feeding, as well as, you know, just responsible pet ownership. So really, it's there as a tool to sort of give you that idea of what you need to do.
And it's just a prompt to make sure that you've thought everything through and that, you know, you don't get into the shelter and suddenly think, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can complete it online beforehand, or you can complete it in the shelter, but we would prefer if you do it online. And that you can check that out from our webpage, which is dogshome.com. There is a separate pet license webpage, but you'll be able to find that through there.
And also, if you want more information on Stray Animals Day, just look at strayanimalsday.org. Okay, so the Easter stats, Alan, they were weren't they?
Yeah, so lots of people were grumbling about going back to work, but we at the Lost Dogs Home, we were really happy because the Easter Bunny delivered new homes to 34 cats and kittens and 21 dogs and puppies at our North Melbourne shelter over the Easter long weekend.
Really good for 3 days.
It's really good going. It was a really busy weekend and everyone worked really well. Now, one of our recent pets of the week was a cat called Chip. Chip is unfortunately still waiting for a home, so he's a lovely cat. He likes a good scratch behind his ears. He has a lot of white on him, so he's prone to sunburn. So he'd be better kept as an indoor cat. And he's not the sort of cat that tolerates small children. So anyone who's looking for a cat, please look at Chip. His ID number is 930777. He's about 3 years old, and he's at the North Melbourne shelter.
Yeah, I see Chip like every day when I'm there, and I'm always saddened that he's still there. We've almost got him adopted so many times. He's so friendly. He loves a cuddle. He loves a pat. And yeah, that ID number is ingrained into my head at the moment because I'm always trying to find Chip a new home. So definitely come down and check him out. Now, just quickly, we received an email in from Lindsay, who is from Southern Star and Star Observer, and she loves our show. It's always in the background for her. And she was wondering if we've actually done a show on pet insurance. Now, Lindsay, we haven't done that show yet, but thank you for the topic. It is something that we might look at covering in the future.
That'd be interesting. I mean, there's always insurance commercials going on.
Yeah, it's a really big thing. Yeah. It's quite a new thing, but it hasn't taken off in Australia the way it has anywhere else, or certainly in the UK where I come from. When I worked back in London, probably 60% of animals were were insured, and it makes a real difference in providing quality treatment.
All right, we'll add that to the to-do list. Thank
and
you for that.
And just quickly, Lindsay, as well, through our vet clinic, we recommend using a company called Pet Plan, which is a pet insurance company, but definitely contact us to check, you know, to find out a bit more, and we'd love to see Mushka, her new rescue dog, down there as well. So you can give us a call, 03 9329 2755.
Okay, well, that wraps up our news of the week. Coming up right next, we're going to hear our pet of the week. This is Joy 94.9.
This week's pet of the week.
Oh, we have a very, very gorgeous pet of the week this week. They all are in their own way, but Elfin. Elfin has really unique features.
Elfin is a gorgeous little black and white cat who has, like Chip, been at the Lost Dogs home for quite a while. She's very friendly, very inquisitive. She's about 2 years old, and she's very striking looking, and she would be lovely in a new home. She, you know, she's very friendly. She loves a pat. She loves a cuddle. So she'll be an excellent companion for someone who has plenty of time for cuddles. You can check her out at our North Melbourne shelter. Don't forget, it is half-price cat adoptions for those who have completed the pet licence as well. And her animal ID is 931663. So check her out online as well at www.dogshome.com.
If you missed out on her details, don't worry. We'll be reminding you of them at the end of the program. You're on Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Nicola Charles from Neighbours, and you're listening to Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9.
You certainly are. And all throughout the program today, we're looking at what is in the bowl of your pet's food bowl.
What is
bowl.
In your pet's food bowl?
Yes, not bowels. That's bowl, but we will be looking at the bowels later in the program.
Okay. So maintaining a healthy and well-balanced diet for your pet, dog or cat is one of the best ways you can ensure they'll lead a happy and healthy life. Feeding them quality food with the right nutrients for their age and needs is essentially investing in a healthy future for your pet.
Unhealthy food and eating habits can cause many issues, including obesity, which has been on the rise in people and animals in recent years. And that leads to further medical problems or exacerbates problems like arthritis, heart disease, insulin problems, diabetes, liver disease, and it increases surgical risk in procedures.
Now, speaking of obesity, there was a study in 2005 of quite a number of pets through a lot of vet clinics, and that study found that 33.5% of dogs that were studied were actually overweight. 7.6 of them were obese, and 4.2% were thin or very thin. So that is in 2005. So you can only imagine what the stats would be like now.
Definitely. And I think I read somewhere as well that that sort of paralleled their owners. So if their owners were overweight or obese, the likelihood of their pets being so...
It kind of makes sense, doesn't it?
So, Alan, what would be the first thing that you would do when you get an animal about looking at their diet?
I suppose you want to research what you're going to feed them and make educated decisions. So I would speak to your vet or vet nurses. Vet nurses are a really, really good source of information about feeding your animals.
Well, about everything, really.
Yes, yeah, but they're really good on food and suitable diets. Consider your pet's age, because different ages of animals have different requirements. I would buy the best premium quality food that you can afford.
It's about reading.
You get what you pay for.
Yeah, it's about reading what's actually on in the food as well. So, you know, like we do when we're looking at something for us, we read the back of the package. Ingredients on the backs are listed in order of highest quantity to lowest. So look for the amount of protein, byproducts, fillers, and fats. So, and any grains should be whole grains as well. So meat should always be the first thing on the list of ingredients, really.
And also, I suppose lots of people want to cook for their own pets. I think if you're going to do that, you really need to research it, because it's not something that's easy to do in a balanced way. So there are reputable sort of books
about cooking
you can
for your
find,
pets and
you can
doing
online.
What's called a raw food diet, or even, you know, a cooked food diet. I feed mostly dry. I know, Alan, you probably do the same, which is feed mostly dry food, wet food occasionally as a treat. Dry food's really got the right nutrients and everything like that, but we'll talk about that a bit further, a bit later.
We will indeed.
Just one other thing. I think it's always good to buy a local product. It always seems silly to me that we ship pet food halfway around the world. So I think
Particularly because we have such great stock here in Australia, and obviously it's good for our economy to keep the money here. So that's a really good point. Okay, up shortly we're going to be looking at cats and food. You're on Joy 94.9.
Hi, I'm Tamsin Lewis, Olympic runner. We love listening to Pets Allowed every Friday from noon.
Thank you, Tamsin. We like you listening too. So the age group of your pet, cat or dog really determines what diet they should be having. So with cats, Alan, what about newly born cats?
If you're going to take on feeding an orphan kitten, it's really time consuming. It's difficult. They have really specialized requirements, so it's not something I'd take on lightly. You have to use a product which you get from the vets. You should take the kitten into the vet and have it checked over first. You're going to have to feed them every couple of hours, you know, until they're 6 weeks old. So talk to your vet.
Also, kittens up to 12 months, Kev?
So, I mean, it's the same with kittens at all different ages, is to have a look at, you know, speak to your vet about what's the right food for them as well. You know, up to 12 months, they need sort of higher energy content in the food, and there's specialized foods out there for that as well. Same with once they become an adult. Alan, what are the types of nutrients we're looking at, the different life stages?
Well, I suppose one of the main things is protein. So when they're young, they need lots of protein to grow and build tissues, and then when they're adults, that can go down a little bit because the turnover isn't quite so much. And then old cats certainly don't tolerate protein very well at all. It's very common for them to have kidney problems, which means they can't metabolize the protein and it becomes toxic. So once your cat is certainly over 8 years old, it's best to feed it a diet designed for a mature cat.
And things such as treats with cats, I mean, a lot of cats won't really accept treats that much. It's something you need to start training them with. But giving them something like uncooked chicken necks or uncooked chicken wings as well, but you really need to train them from a young age to be able to eat those. It helps with their teeth and everything like that too. So there's definitely some benefits in there. But if you do want any more information, feel free to contact us at any time. You can do it while we're on air at joy.org.au, or give us an email throughout the week on lostdogshome@joy.org.au.
And we will no doubt be revisiting this topic. It's so big. But do stick around because up next, we're going to be looking at what's in the bowl.
What is in your dog's food bowl?
You're on Joy.
Joy 94.9.
This is Pets Allowed on Joy 94.9. My name is Oz.
I'm Kev.
And I'm Alan.
And all throughout this program, we're checking out the foods that are good for your cats and dogs. Are you unsure about what to feed your pet cat or dog, or does your pet cat or dog have a particular treat they like? Let us know. Call us. Send a text message.
Call on 1300-JOY-949, email on air at joy.org.au, or send us an SMS 0427-JOY-949, just like Jordan and Betty have. We have heard from Jordan and Betty. We love hearing from them each week. Now, Jordan says that he likes to sit next to Mum whilst she is making some home-cooked chicken or beef meat with carrots, cheese, and sometimes boiled eggs. He's a bit fussy with certain biscuits, and he will only eat advanced products. And as for treats, he loves peanut butter and Gerhai sticks.
Thanks for that.
Jordan's pretty good at messaging. Have you noticed that?
Oh, Jordan's like, fantastic
got,
on
like,
the text.
Impeccable like writing for a dog.
I wonder if it's a touchpad or, you know, I mean, a keypad. I don't know.
Who knows?
We'll have to find out.
Remember, if you do want to email us throughout the week, email us on lostdogshome@joy.org.au.
Okay, Alan, so what should dog food include?
So you need to have protein to build body tissues. You need fats and oils for skin and coat health to keep them nice and shiny. You need carbohydrates to provide energy, and you need roughage to keep it all moving through.
Now, just like cats, it is important for dogs to be fed different things at different stages of their life. Alan, puppies, obviously with mum for the first couple of weeks, they're drinking milk, that sort of thing. When would you switch that over?
So pups need to stay with their mum until they're 8 weeks of age, and they'll generally naturally start weaning at about 6 weeks. So, and the way you do that is you just use normal puppy food, because mum will probably be eating puppy food while she's feeding them, just to give her the energy. And they basically just start padding around in it and licking it off their feet, and then they start eating it. And then gradually over that 6 to 8 week period, they start eating more and more food and start drinking less milk.
I must say, seeing six puppies at a food bowl is one of the cutest things ever. Just eating that mush, and the big ones get in there and they get right in the middle. In terms of feeding, you know, as your puppy grows up, it's important to feed them. I look at it this way: 3 times a day until they're about 6 months old, and then switch that down to 2 times a day or when they sort of get bored.
Yeah, if you find that you're feeding them 3 times a day and there's one that they're not particularly interested in, then you just reduce that one down over a few days and stop, and then go to 2x a day.
Just like cats, you know, they are important nutrients for each level as well. So what's the main important nutrient for a dog, would you say?
Well, I think certainly when they're growing, it's protein. You know, they need protein and they need energy. And then As they mature, I suppose it depends very much on their breed. So certain breeds tend to put weight on, so they're going to want less energy.
That's like a beagle.
Like a beagle.
Or a lab.
Yes.
Or labs, yeah.
Or, you know, other little dogs, I suppose, little dogs don't tend to have as big an appetite and they actually need sort of more energy-dense food. So it really varies from case to case.
And what about our favourite treats? What are some things that we can offer our pets?
So, when you're feeding treats with dogs and with cats especially as well, is with the recommended food levels that you've got on your sort of premium dog food or your dog food, cut some of that out because, you know, you're going to be replacing that with treats. Things like raw bones, never, can't stress that enough, never give them cooked bones. Raw bones, and also making sure that they're cut right so they don't get too much of the marrow at once.
Marrow's really fatty and a lot of dogs can't tolerate it. So you can get the butcher to scrape the marrow out. Mm-hmm. I suppose the other thing is never feed small bones. So they don't want to be able to swallow them whole because that's when they get stuck and that's a real problem.
Pig's ears, I've heard that's quite good.
Pig's ears are great. I've got little dogs and I actually have a pair of secateurs and I just cut the pig's ears into strips.
Yeah,
that's really good. They also love kangaroo tendons, which are a true Australian.
I've never tried that one. We do have treats that are made from kangaroo, but we've never tried tendons. So I might have to look that up.
Especially with little dogs, they keep them chewing for ages and they really clean their teeth. So they're good.
Look, there is so many different treats out there. It is about finding the right ones for you and your pet as well and the ones that they like. Another option as well is to actually make your own treats. Mm-hmm. Now, that is something, you know, that I do occasionally, ever so often. But we are...
Every week.
Not every week, every second week. And there's some in the freezer right now. Anyway, we are going to be talking to Alice Needham from Diamond Dog Food and Bakery right after this song.
That's exciting. This is the Mavises with Cry on Joy 94.9.
Hi, guys. This is Raphael, and I'm volunteering at the Lost Dogs Home, and you're listening to Pets Aloud on Joy 94.9.
Now, you may have a birthday coming up or another doggy special event and want to get your pet involved in a safe and healthy way by giving them some sort of special treats for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Kev, you know all about that.
I do know all about that. We just had Cinder's birthday recently.
And we're now joined on the line by Alice from Diamond Dog Food and Bakery, who is well-versed in baking and making home-cooked meals for her dog. How are you? Welcome.
Hi, Oz. How are you?
Good. So can you take us through how you first started baking for Monty, your dog?
Yeah, well, we've pretty well always cooked for him because we thought it was a better way to do things than a lot of the commercial-type foods with all the preservatives and things. So we've always made up big pots of dinners for him with lots of veggies and all those sort of good things for him. So we decided that other people should know about that as well.
And you've really got, you've got the Diamond Dog Food and Bakery and everything like that. It's such a great, you know, thing to sort of have those treats and all different ideas for what you can actually feed your pet.
Yeah, well, we like to do things that remind us of things that we feel we're being treated with. So it looks like our stuff, but we've made it perfectly safe for the dogs. So instead of you sitting there having a Tim Tam with your coffee, we make something that you can give to your dog that's safe for them, but it's still fun and everyone feels good about it.
So what are some of the dog-friendly ingredients you most frequently use?
Well, in their dinners and things, we use a lot of vegetables. We use oats. None of the refined type grains and things. We use really natural coarse grains. Chia seed is a huge thing we use. We put that in everything because it's got a perfect balance of omega-3 and 6, which is good for their joints and coats and basically for their general well-being. So, yeah, and lots of really healthy veggies is a good thing, as well as obviously they need all their proteins.
So when you're going shopping for yourself, you can sort of keep an eye out on those ingredients.
Oh, you sure
and pop
can.
A few in the trolley for your pets.
Yeah. Yeah, just don't forget, don't give them the things that you would need.
I was looking through the book recently as I had Cinder's birthday party last week, and we made some treats from there. And there's actually things in there that I was looking at going, I could eat that.
Yeah. Well, actually, as you would have found, Kevin, most of those ingredients in the book, I mean, it's all human grade, and you could eat it. It's more a matter of whether you'd like it.
Yeah, that's a big thing, isn't it?
It's a taste thing. I mean, the dogs like more doggy flavours than what we like. So, yeah, but apart from that, certainly you can eat it all. I mean, a lot of the treats and things, we obviously use carob instead of chocolate. And that's perfectly okay for us to eat as well. Most people just prefer chocolate.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with the carob stuff, we made carob chip cookies for Cinna's birthday party, and they were a big hit with the dogs. I wasn't game enough to try one myself, but, you know.
Oh, they're one of the safest ones to try. The main difference you'll find with those is they're not sweet like we're used to with our biscuits. So if you actually want a diet chocolate chip biscuit...
Eat a carob chip biscuit.
Yeah, you can eat one of the dog's ones and you'll be fine.
I think I still have some in the freezer, so if I work up the courage, I might try some of those.
You should. Look, serious, you know what went in them because you made them yourself.
That's right, I do.
So you've got a range of recipes in your book there, right from sausages with basil, which is interesting, through to sweets that are friendly for dogs. Which one is your favourite?
Well, probably it's more which is Monty's favourite rather than mine.
That's good,
actually. I
tend
not to eat too many of them. Actually, the one we found is probably the most popular with nearly all dogs is the chicken licking meatballs. And they absolutely love those. And if you're being lazy with the recipe, you don't even have to make the little individual meatballs. You can just make it like a loaf. So you can do it either way, but... I know when my stepmother was helping us with testing the recipes for the book, and she used to just feed their dog just normal dry food and whatever. She started making this stuff, and ever since he's been fed on it, and he just adores his chicken licking meatballs.
So that sounds like, it sounds delicious.
And again, it sounds like something I'd try.
I'd try,
Well, that's what I keep saying. Look, if you had no food for yourself in the house, but you were well stocked for the dog, and you'd made it out of the recipes in here, you'd be fine. You could eat together.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show today, Alice. It is great to have chatted with you about all this stuff. And if we want to find more information about Diamond Dog, where would we look?
Yep, you can go to the website, which is just diamonddog.com.au. Our book's there. You can buy the book from us or from any good bookshop. They have them there as well. So if you get inspired to start making some food for your dog, then it's a great place to start.
Maybe we can have you in the studio taking us through a recipe.
Oh, I'd love to come
and make
something.
We'll see if Joy's all right with us getting a little oven in here.
Only on one condition, that Kevin actually tries it this time.
Oh, Eric. All right.
That sounds fair, doesn't it?
As long as it doesn't contain liver.
Okay, I'll pick something that's
liver-free.
I'll take
the liver.
You will?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'm with Kevin on that one.
Yeah.
I'll pick you something nice that you won't notice.
Okay. Yep.
Thank you so much, Alice. It was great to chat with you.
Lovely to talk to you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
This is Joy 94.9 and you're listening to Pets Aloud. My name is Oz.
I'm Kevin and...
I'm Alan.
we know our names.
We do know our names, and we are talking about pet food, what's in your dog's diet, everything like that. Right now, we're going to have a look at some things to avoid and some better alternatives. But first, quickly, we have heard from a couple of people. So Matt and James from Yarraville in Melbourne, they have two cats, which they adopted in 2009. Hugo and Hunter, and they won't eat the same food. So they are fussy cats. Hugo will only eat Dine, and Hunter will only eat Fussy Cat. However, they both do eat Whiskers dry food. That's interesting. So they're a bit fussy. They don't know.
Making it extra difficult
for
the owners.
Cats are like that, though. They kind of get addicted to one sort of food, and then if you try and change it, they just won't have it.
What about this, Alan? One of my cats used to just eat on white paper.
Only on white paper,
I really don't know how we discovered it, but it just stuck, and yeah.
I don't know.
You don't know the answer?
I don't know the answer to that.
Oh, no.
We also got an email from Frank Pope. Frank, who is from Canberra, actually, he's listening from Canberra, and he has an ageing Tenterfield Terrier, started scratching a bit more than usual. Alan will actually email you some information about diet and everything like that, how you can help him out a bit.
All right. So what are the foods we need to avoid when it comes to feeding our pets, Kev?
Well, first off, you might be eating dinner and your dog's going to sit next to you and give you those little puppy dog eyes. Don't always give them too many leftovers. And when you are giving them leftovers, small amounts are okay, but make sure you sort of think about it first. So not high-fat foods, you know, or not something that's going to actually be dangerous to them.
And also, if you feed them from the table, it gets annoying eventually and they just won't leave you alone.
They'll keep begging.
Yeah.
Mm. So. They'll look at you every time you're eating food. Cinda has this habit of trying to guilt me into giving her food. Like, she just stares at me and waits.
They don't say puppy dog eyes for no reason.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, grapes was a surprising one.
Grapes shouldn't be fed to dogs. There's a toxin in there, and that includes in dried grapes, so sultanas and raisins. No one actually knows what the toxin is, but it can be potentially fatal in dogs. It can cause renal failure, which means their kidneys stop working and they get very, very sick.
And like grapes, macadamias also have an unknown toxin involved, which can also be very bad for dogs. So they'll cause some sort of locomotory difficulties. Mm-hmm. And most dogs will recover well from it, but you just don't want to go through that at all.
Yep. We know about cocoa and onions and garlic.
The last one. Especially onions. Garlic isn't quite so bad, but they both contain a toxin called thiosulfate, which is potentially fatal for dogs and cats. Basically, it affects the red blood cells, so the body starts breaking down the red blood cells and they become anemic. So,
and it kind of builds up over time
so you don't want to be doing it.
Don't feed them that kind of things. You can find more information about those sort of things on our website, which is dogshome.com. There is an article there about toxic plants. Some alternatives, as Alice mentioned, was carob instead of chocolate. It can be used in cooking, that sort of stuff. Yogurt drops are another good thing. Eggs, chia seeds, and carrots. Carrots are really good, actually, for what you can do is freeze them and give them to your puppy. And, you know, if they're teething, it actually helps soothe their gums.
Fantastic tips there, guys. Thanks a lot for that. You're on Joy 94.9 and this is Pets Allowed. All throughout the program today, we've been looking at healthy food for your pet dog and cat. So you've fed them the right food. Alan, how do you work out whether they're healthy? What are the telltale signs?
Well, look, it's pretty straightforward. So they should be active. You know, they should when you get home from work, they should be up and greeting you. They should want to go for a walk. They should want to play. They should have a good coat, so it shouldn't be sort of dry or scaly. And their weight should be good. They should have a waist, but you shouldn't be able to see their ribs. And their weight shouldn't fluctuate very much. Weight loss can be a sign of disease.
On that point, how often would you weigh your pet dog or cat?
Oh, probably every couple of months, something like that. You know,
and if they're kittens or puppies, is that more frequent?
Yeah, certainly little tiny ones I'd be weighing sort of at least once a week. Mm-hmm. But it's a good idea to keep an eye on their weight. And you can tell when you're grooming them and you know, feeling them and picking them up. Mm-hmm. So if they are losing weight, and you haven't cut their food and don't want them to lose weight, then you probably ought to have it looked at. Also, make sure that they're not drinking excessively. If they're always thirsty, it can be signs of diabetes, mm-hmm. Or kidney disease or lots of other things. And I suppose when you're clearing up after them, it should be easy, you know. So it should be easy to pick up your dog poo. You shouldn't be scraping it off the footpath. Mm-hmm. And the same with cats, the litter tray. It should be easy to clean that out. It shouldn't be stinking and horrible. They should be going regularly. So they should be going at least cats once a day, and dogs certainly more than that. So, and anything that concerns you, talk to your vet.
In terms of throwing up, that's not healthy for dogs, but what about for cats?
Cats will quite often vomit not all the time, but, you know, maybe once a week. Because in the wild, they eat whole carcasses, so they eat fur and bones and everything. They have to get rid of that, and the way they do that is just by throwing it up. Mm-hmm. And also they're prone to fur balls, which is fairly normal and doesn't always need treatment, but both those things can make them vomit. But if they're vomiting every day, I would certainly get it checked out.
And if dogs are?
Yeah, again, take them to your vet.
Okay, good. There's some pretty handy tips on what to look out for to make sure that your pet is healthy. And that sort of wraps up our topic for today. But I think we'll no doubt revisit it because just researching nutrition and pet food, I've just discovered that it's quite a big area.
It's a big, big thing. Mm. Lots of people are very interested in it and it's a big industry as well.
Maybe if you do have any questions, you can email us throughout the week at lostdogshome@joy.org.au. You can check those details out on our program page at joy.org.au.
Coming up next, we're going to preview our second pet of the week. One is not enough for us this week. We want to preview two. So stay tuned. You're on Joy 94.9.
It is going to come up very soon once Oz realises what she's doing.
This week's pet of the week.
So it's time for our second pet of the week, Alan.
So our second pet of the week is Billy. I met Billy yesterday because we had our photograph taken.
We did
together.
Have a bit of a photo shoot all together.
And he was really well behaved. So he's a really sweet little pom. He's about 4 years old. We had him out for about half an hour and he.
Yeah, he was just
really
so relaxed.
Good.
He was calm. He walks well on a lead as well because I walked him back to the.
And we had a kitten. And he was great with the kitten.
He was inquisitive about it. The kitten was the evil one.
So he's
not really evil. So okay, Oz is giving me a look. The kitten wasn't evil. It just
like to,
was
you know,
interested in Billy.
Bit,
and yeah,
fine.
He's seeing a little
it's
bit.
Natural.
So, like we say, he's 4 years old. He's got mild luxating patellas, which is a really common problem that little dogs have, but they're not causing him any issues at the moment. He's not lame. He may end up needing treatment for that later on. So, yeah, he's a very easy little dog. His number is... I can't see it right now.
Billy's. Yeah, that's right.
He's don't have his number.
Not on there.
But he's on the website, so you can find him on dogshome.com or call the front office on 9329-2755 and just mention his name.
Okay, so that was Billy, and yeah, apologies there, we don't have his number, but we'll be getting it to you before the end of the show.
It is 910819, and that picture has gone up on our Facebook page, along with the picture of Elfin, whose ID number is 931663, and that was the cat at the start of the show that we talked about. So check them out on Facebook or on our website, which is dogshome.com.
Your pet's community calendar.
This is Dog Dates.
Okay, so we're rolling on to pet our dog dates. First up, Alan.
So the National Pet Register have three events on this weekend. So Saturday the 6th of April, there is Sunbury Rotary Club. That is from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday the 6th of April as well, there's Darabin City Council at Preston Town Hall. That's 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And on Sunday, there's the Eastern Regional Pet Expo. That's at Knox Park in Ferntree Gully from 10 to 4. There are microchips at all three of those events are $25, and you can book at petregister.com.au. Mm-hmm. Now, you need to book by 4 o'clock today for all three of those.
Also, you can catch Cinder and I at Paws in the Park on Sunday, April 7th from 10 a.m. at Alistair Knox Park in Eltham.
That sounds good. And Reggie is heading up to Bris Vegas.
Reggie is our microchipping Winnebago.
And it's hitting the road. It's hitting the Hume Highway, heading all the way up to Brisbane for a few weekends, starting from Saturday the 13th of April. So if you're up that way and think it's a good time to microchip your pet, check it out. Or maybe you've got friends or relos there, so let them know. All of this information can be found on the National Pet Register, which is...
petregister.com.au. We did just receive a message from Paris as well, but if you can email us, lostdogshome@joy.org.au, so we can get back to you about that question, Paris, that would be great. Thank you very much. This has been another episode of Pets Aloud with Oz in the hot seat. Coming up is Katie, who is eagerly waiting to get inside.
We hope you have a fantastic week ahead and weekend, and don't forget to
pat your cat,
walk your dogs first,
and pat your cat,
or do it at the same time. This is Joy 94.9.
Pets Aloud, brought to you by the Lost Dogs Home on Joy 94.9.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.